What type of action do you see him for? Like firing action?
Air raids, fires.
Where were they?
In England, Plymouth, England. We had raids when we first got over there, sometimes four of them a day.
Were they just scares, or were they?
Well, they were dropping bombs, incendiaries, and all that stuff.
Do you know?
Mostly at night. But they'd come over during the day, even. Sometimes we didn't get any sleep at all.
Did you work with a lot of other soldiers?
Not soldiers. Well, I worked with other pharmacist mates and doctors taking care of the people that were hurt. It was a rough time.
Did you take care of the enemy?
The enemy, well, they weren't around. They were flying the planes. We took care of some bodies, some German pilots and crew on a bomber that was shot down. He rode it down for some reason or other. They were all killed, and we took care of the bodies. And I don't remember. I think we buried them up on the moor and sent the dog tags and stuff, what they had left, we sent it to Germany through Switzerland, best I remember.
Did you ever hear anything about the firebomb in London?
Well, we had our own. Yeah, about burnt the whole town down. You see, they bombed the place so bad that the water mains were broken. So they didn't bury them anymore. They just laid them on top of the ground. That's the only way we could get water to fight the fires. They laid the mains in the gutters. In 1942, I was stationed at Melbourne Naval Air Station in Florida. It was an advanced carrier base training facility. And in 42, George Bush came on the base, and his fame then was not president, of course, but he was the youngest pilot ever to graduate and get his wings. And I met him, and I liked the man. He didn't act like an officer. He acted more like just another enlisted man. I remember when he got married, his future bride came down, and they went up to Sea Island and got married. They lived ashore. I liked him very much. He was 6'4", and I remembered when he was president, he never looked that tall. But when I would be talking to him, I'd strain my neck to look up in his face. He was well liked by everybody. Oh, there's another thing that comes to mind in 43. When we were overseas, we got a bunch of guys come in from the States. They put them down at the bottom of the hill in the hut, and we dug a slit trench out back from the top of the hill where the top guys were down to the bottom, and they didn't grade the ditch. So when it rained, it filled up the bottom of it. And these guys that were just got overseas hadn't ever been in an air raid. So the air raid siren sounded one night. It was wintertime, and there was ice on the water down there adjacent to their building. And they ran out, some of them with just a blanket around them, in their skivvies, and jumped in the doggone icy water. I mean, there was a half inch of ice on it. And I'd get up, turn on a little night light, put my complete uniform on, my helmet, my gas mask. I wouldn't put the gas mask on, but I just carry it, and my canteen full of water, and then walk out and step over the ditch and go through a fence and go out under a large oak tree that had big roots, and I dug out me a pothole there where I could crouch and watch the air raid, the flares and the searchlights and the tracers. I had a good view of all that. And one of the guys that jumped in the ditch full of water and ice, I said something to him about being stupid. And he said, "Well, you were so scared it took you 30 minutes to get your uniform on." I said, "Look, I'm going to die with dignity. If it's my time to go, I'm going to be ready." I said, "I ain't going to be standing there shivering in a doggone wet blanket, no clothes on." Well, one night, a buddy and I, excuse me, had a fire watch. In other words, we were designated to stay on the base in case of fire. There had to be so many men on fire watch. Well, that got boring, and so we decided we'd leave. We went to a pub, having a drink. The air raid siren sounded, so we had to get back. So we were running. They closed the bar, and so we had to get out. And we were running up the road, and the German plane came over, the first one came over and dropped a big flare and made it about like daylight. So we came to a fork in the road, and the left fork was the closest route to the base. My buddy was running along beside me, and somebody or something took hold of my shoulders and turned me the long way, going the other direction of the Y. And I didn't question it. I mean, I was wanting to get the heck away from there, because we just walked across or run across a bridge that the Germans, we knew, were going to bomb it. So we ran on, and finally the hands let go of my shoulder, and I was far enough away and felt safe enough to turn around and look to see who the heck it was. There was nobody. There's no place that anybody could have gone. But somebody got my shoulders and turned me the long way back to the base. And I got back, and I was late on fire watch. And I told the chief, I lied to him and told him that I was in the shower when the siren sounded. It took me a while to get my clothes back on. I had soap all over me, and I had to rinse off. So I don't know whether he believed me or not. I don't think he did. And we missed this fellow that was with me that took the shortcut. He was found a month later underneath a stone wall that laid over. I never told anybody about that. Another incident happened that I thought was pretty funny. It was in 1944, I believe. the chief master at arms called me into his office and said, I got a nice job for you. It was after Christmas and after New Year's. He said, I want you to go out and... He said, you ramble all up on the moor and all that. He said, I want you to go take an axe and whatever else you need, a saw and whatever, and go out and find about a 6-foot Christmas tree and pick out one of the crew to go with you. Well, when he said that, the first thought, I said, well, I've always thought he was crazy, and now I know it. Wanting me to go get a Christmas tree a week or more after Christmas. So I went and checked out an ambulance, got a friend of mine to go with me. First thing we did, it was pretty close to 10 o'clock, which was the hour the pubs opened. So I went to a country pub and we had a few beers. And I told him then, my friend, what we were out to do. And he said, it ain't only the chief is crazy. He said, you are too. So we went on and looked and looked and looked. Had trouble finding a tree. So we were up on the moors and didn't have a map or anything, so we were just driving. So finally we went down a road we hadn't gone down, and I looked at a crossroads and I saw a sign to the right of me. It said, His Majesty's Tree Preserve. I said, hey, wait a minute. I backed up and turned in there and went down, and there was a barricade to keep you from going into the actual tree preserve. So we just walked around it, just parked the ambulance. There was snow on the ground and made those tracks. I was worried about that. We went down there and cut a 6-foot Christmas tree and put it in the truck and got the heck out of there. And we stopped by the pub again on the way back and got back to the base and carried the tree in and put it in the rec hall. The only place I knew to put it. So I went back and turned in the keys to the truck, had the mileage on it. And the chief that took the keys said, boy, you guys had a real field day, didn't you? I said, 27 miles to go get a tree. I didn't say anything. And then I went to the master at arms shack and told the chief master at arms that I had a tree. He said, where is it? I said, well, sir, I took it out of the ambulance because we had to turn the ambulance in. It's up in the rec hall. Well, he grumbled about walking up the hill to the rec hall. He said, well, that's a nice tree. He said, where'd you get it? I said, up on the moor. I'll go back to 1944, one I forgot. I went overseas on the Queen Mary. She was berthed up there in New York. I put my sea bag on board about November the 11th. And we set sail November the 13th, which was my birthday. And we got out about halfway to Britain. And we came up missing a man. He was Army. And they took us and put us up on the boat deck and went through every deck that is the ship's crew, looking for the guy. Well, they never did find him. So we went on. So we lost a man going over. He probably just jumped overboard.